May I read, that's a week on Friday. May I just read you a few verses from 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and beginning at verse 11. Paul writing from prison to Timothy. He writes, "And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit which was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you." One of the remarkable aspects of being vicar of this church is your faith, the faith that I see and listen to in each of you. Your faith seems to me to be strong enough to continue trusting the Lord Jesus Christ in the face of experiences and situations that might have thrown many other Christian believers and undermined their faith. Part of it, of course, is your faith is constantly tested by working in the type of place in which we all work here in the Square Mile. But every time I feel stressed, every time I'm tempted to feel sorry for myself, every time I'm tempted to compromise on prayer and pray for something that probably will happen anyway, rather than what I really believe God's calling me to pray for, I think of some of the conversations I've had with you, and that they put everything back into perspective. It is a remarkable thing to be pastor of this congregation. And the Apostle Paul would have fitted here perfectly. Often we read of him in nightmare situations, and he simply describes these nightmare situations by using a Greek word that's best translated pressure. When he was stoned by a lynch mob, he wrote about the pressure of the situation. For myself, I might have used a much stronger word. Paul, though, who wasn't English and understated, simply saw it as a bit of hassle he had to cope with. The surprise is that in these verses, he doesn't do this. When he writes in verse 12 about the suffering that he's going through, he's utterly unequivocal. "I'm going through a nightmare," is what he writes to his friend Timothy. This is not one of those pressure situations. It's much worse than being faced with a lynch mob. This is really a nightmare. And the more we think about his situation, the more we recognize that is indeed the case. But always with him, he sees the bigger picture. In his situation, I wouldn't have done so, but Paul, of course, was so much better than me. In the extract we looked at from last week from this letter, Paul summed up the good news that is our Christian faith, what it means not only for him, but for every Christian believer. Now, in the midst of admitting that things were very bad indeed, in fact, worse than they'd ever been, he doesn't lose sight of the gospel. It's this that enabled him in one breath to write about the nightmare he's facing, and then a few words later to write about his confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard, didn't we? Second part of verse 12, "I know whom I've believed and convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day." The juxtaposition of emotions made me curious about how he could say what it was, the situation that he was in, and then talk about his undiminished confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see first in verse 11 that Paul had never lost a sense of amazement. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted both to know him and to use him. We could so easily miss this. In fact, I'd missed it, having read this letter regularly for 40 years. But I suddenly realized the other day he uses in verse 11 a very clever grammatical tool which underlines his continuing and growing wonder at the grace that God had showed him. He knew where he'd come from, how he'd persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. He also knew part of the failures that had been part of his life as a Christian. He would have been a nightmare boss. He was impatient, driven, demanding, insensitive, and ruthless. Anyone who didn't come up to scratch, he got rid of them. He mellowed in his later years, for there were only a few later years. He was pretty tough most of the time. But he realized that Jesus had never given up on him once, that Jesus remains committed to him. And Paul had never ceased to be amazed by this Jesus, who, in spite of everything, never gave up on him. And part of being as steady as you are and he was is asking Jesus regularly to renew a sense of wonder at the fact that he wants to know us at all, and he sticks in with us whatever we do. He never lost a sense of amazement. And secondly, his confidence in Jesus had been deepened as the years go by. We see the change that he was able to point to in his own life. In verse 13, he urges Timothy to hold on to the pattern of sound teaching. It sounds a bit of an obvious piece of advice, isn't it? Just keep on reading my works and my letters. Well, Timothy was committed to him. He would have kept on reading that. But it contains a promise. For the word we translate here as sound was a promise of spiritual and personal wholeness. So if he's saying to Timothy, don't forget Jesus is changing you. Don't forget he has changed you and will continue to do so. He wants us to flourish as human beings. He wants us to be more like him. He doesn't want us to forget the extraordinary love and faith that he exemplified in his earthly ministry. And he wants to see that kind of change in you and me. Look at the way he's changed you. Let that give you confidence about all that he has in store for you. Don't focus on what's going to happen to me, says Paul. Focus on what Jesus wants to continue to do in you. What has Jesus done in you and me recently? How has he changed us? What's on his agenda to deal with next in your life and mine? Amazement and confidence. Then he finishes by saying, this isn't meant to be a pressure. This isn't hard work. This is not meant for you to wake up every morning, what have I got to concentrate on now? Or please make me more amazed that you love me. He talks in verse 14 about the help of the Holy Spirit. You're never on your own. When you think things are bad, just pause and you'll realize he's there. Later on in his letter, he writes, in my first defense, first trial, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. He said, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. Timothy, you will always find him there. And I want you to know that he's there.